This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
A practical look at freedom from sin in Jesus. So we are going to take a practical look, what it looks like in everyday practical living, what freedom from sin in Jesus. Did I say that correct? Did I read it correctly? A practical look at freedom from sin in Jesus. Praise God. Question, do you have freedom in Jesus? The answer should be yes. Do you have freedom from sin in Jesus? Now the answer should be yes. Now do we still mess up? Do we still make mistakes sometimes? Yes, we do. But that doesn't take away the fact that we have received freedom from sin in Jesus. What we need to understand is that when God sent His Son Jesus, now remember, when Adam and Eve fell, they messed up real bad. And sinfulness entered creation. And they became sinful because of their disobedience, because they didn't do what God told them to do. And so, because of that, sin entered creation and we became sinful. So, we are descendants in the natural of fallen Adam. And so, because of that, we have a propensity to sin. And so, sin became an issue between us and God. There is none righteous. There is not one who can say is without sin beside Jesus. And so, sin became an issue between us and God. And God, who is love, loves us so that He made a decision literally right away, because He's not taken by surprise by anything, and He provided redemption in Jesus for us. In other words, Jesus, the time is going to come when you are going to go to a cross and you're going to suffer, you're going to be punished by their sin, for their sin, and you will die for them and as them. And then you will set them free from sin. Now, when Jesus died for my personal sin, for your personal sin, if you are alive today, and you are because you are here with us watching, all our sin at the cross was in the future tense because we were not alive then. We were not there. And so all of the total sum of our sin would have been in sense of time and it would have been in the future tense. And so, you know, sometimes people like to argue and say, well, yes, Jesus set us free from our past sins. He set us free from our present sins. But He did not set us free from our future sin. Now, if that's the case, what's the point of the cross? What's the point of God sending His Son Jesus to go through everything He went through to redeem us if we did not receive complete and total forgiveness for our sin? So the answer is that no matter what legalism may teach, no matter what religion may say, no matter what opinions people may have based on their understanding of the gospel, the truth is that Jesus died for our sin. He died with our sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. And by doing that, He set us free from sin. In other words, He removed the issue, the sin issue between us and God. And praise God for that. I mean, we're celebrating independence, we're celebrating freedom. Praise God for that. And I know that most of you know what I'm saying, but I want to remind us because I want to bring it in with what I'm sharing with us today. So let's begin by looking at Psalm chapter 11, verse 3 from the King James. It's on the screen there. Watch what it says. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, that is loaded, and there's a lot we can teach from that. But in context and in light of what we're sharing today, what I want to draw our attention to is that we have righteousness in Jesus. So therefore, we have right standing with God in Jesus. Therefore, we are righteous. God sees us as righteous, not because of what we do or what we don't do, but because what He's done for us in and through Jesus. And so He's given us His righteousness. But yet here it says that if the foundations are not there, if the foundations have been removed, if the foundations are damaged, if the foundations have even been destroyed, then what can we do? In other words, we are empowered with righteousness. We are empowered with right standing before God because of the finished work of the cross. But as empowered as we may be with righteousness, if our foundations are not solid and are not kept and we stand on them, then we'll be powerless. So we can walk around, we can live life and wake up every day, you know, knowing and saying, I am the righteousness of God. I am as righteous as Jesus is, because we are. We can know and feel righteous, but if our foundations are lacking, or they're not there, or they're destroyed, it's fruitless. It prevents us from achieving anything, from enjoying anything, from experiencing anything else that God has for us. So foundations are important, because it is on a foundation that everything else rests on. Now, you may be in a house, you may be in an apartment. I'm not exactly sure where you are, but wherever you are, I can guarantee you that you are either standing or sitting on a foundation, that you are on a foundation. You know, your couch may be there, your chairs may be there, your furniture's there, the walls are there, the roof is there, but all of it rests on a foundation. And so if that foundation is not firm, then it can all just crumble, no matter how good it looks and how wonderful it is. I've actually seen, you know, builders, developers who like to take shortcuts and try and make money out of everything and not always be honest and do the right thing. But I have seen beautiful complexes, beautiful houses built with the most expensive of materials and counters and walls and painting and, you know, carpets. But the foundation was on clay, on soft ground. And before you know, it cracked, it broke, and that whole house was condemned and that whole complex had to be torn down. And so that's what I'm talking about. This is what this is saying. Because our foundations are important. So we all need good and solid foundations in life, specifically when it comes to our freedom from sin in Jesus. If our freedom in Jesus, if that foundation is not solid, no matter how righteous we feel, no matter how we enjoy the gospel, there's going to become times when we are attacked, when our freedom in Jesus, especially from sin, is attacked. And who knows where it will take us. We may entertain guilt, shame, condemnation. We may want to hide from God, just like Adam and Eve tried to, you know, hide from Him. We may try and run from God because we feel bad. You see, that's all the effects of a foundation that is not there. Now, does that mean that we should sear our conscience and have a careless conscience about sin? Of course not. Of course that's not what I'm saying. But there is power in freedom from sin in Jesus. Amen. And this tells us that it's hard to do anything without a foundation. So foundations are important. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 from the Amplified. Now this is addressing believers like you and me. And it says here, "For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again. The very first principles of God's word, you have come to need milk, not solid food." Now, you know, I believe that Paul wrote this, but some people don't, and that's fine. Whoever wrote it, it's inspired by God, and it's the word of God. And this is saying to believers that, you know, you have been saved for a while. You've received salvation in Jesus for a while. We've taught you the word of God. You have heard the gospel truth. And surely by now, you should be in a place where you are discipling others, teaching them what we've taught you, teaching them what you know about the gospel truth. But yet, you are at a place as Christians, as believers, as seasoned believers, as those who are supposed to be mature and you know, seasoned. And yet, we need to teach you the basic principles again. In other words, your foundation has been destroyed and you're not standing on a solid foundation. So now we need to rebuild that foundation and put you back in that foundation by teaching you the very first principles, in other words, the basic things about the gospel truth. And so he says, you know, that's like a baby who can't chew food, they can only consume milk. And so in the same way, we need to just feed you things that are easy to digest, easy to take in, until such time that we can teach you the meat of God's word. And so that's not a good place to be in. So what we see from this is that these believers had gone backwards in their development as Christians. So is it possible for you and I to go backwards in our development? It sure is. You know, let go of the things of God and start getting to the word as often as you should and pray and everything else. Now, it's not a matter of performance, but a matter of want to, you know. What's going to happen? You're going to go backwards. I mean, I think about, I used to know a couple in South Africa who were very well off. They were a great family. They had beautiful children. But the husband had a job that took him away for months at a time. And it was a really good job. I mean, they had built a real good life financially and, you know, materially. But unfortunately, you know, emotionally, and as a family, the dynamic was just not there because the children hardly saw their dad. The wife hardly really spent time with dad. And so, long story short, things didn't go well. They didn't end well. They ended up getting divorced. Why? Because she felt, I don't know this guy. We share keys to the same house, but I hardly see him. And she was glad for the provision, but they didn't realize that over time, how it had literally removed their foundation. Their friendship, their relationship was destroyed, and the kids didn't really care. I mean, when the divorce happened, it didn't matter to the kids because to them, this is a stranger anyway. And so, you know, this is the kind of situation that is being described here. This is that we can go backwards in our development as Christians. So it is possible for believers to lose sight of their gospel foundations. And when it comes to freedom from sin in Jesus, that is such a crucial part of our foundation that we cannot allow anything to move us away from that foundation. Amen. Let's have a look at this. Galatians 5:1. Helena quoted this earlier from the Amplified. It says, "In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us." Notice, so we have been made free. So you didn't earn or deserve your freedom. You didn't do anything to get your freedom. You were made free by the Lord Jesus. Praise God for that. You were made free. So all you have to do is embrace that freedom and live in that freedom. And then it says you have been completely liberated. So we're not still bound to anything. We're not still in bondage to anything. We shouldn't feel any obligation, any bondage to sin. We have been liberated completely. Then watch what he says next. "Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you once put off." In other words, Jesus set you free from sin, and he set you completely free from sin. So don't go again and submit to those ways and let sin have its way with you again and let sin bring guilt, shame, and condemnation and let sin make you feel like you're in bondage again, like you're no good, like you're never going to measure up, you're just going to keep on messing up. He's saying, don't let it do that. Stand fast in your freedom because you have been completely liberated. So you can see from this that as New Covenant believers, we have a responsibility to stand in the freedom we have in Jesus. We don't have to get the freedom because we've already got it. But we need to stand in that freedom. Amen. You could put what he says there this way. "You once understood just how free you were in Jesus, but now you seem to have forgotten it." That's another point that he's basically saying to us there. So it is possible to lose our understanding of the foundation that we have in Jesus as far as freedom from sin. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so just stay with me, okay? But it's good to just be refreshed about these truths. So how is it possible to lose our understanding, to lose our comprehension of the foundation that we stand on as far as freedom from sin in Jesus? How is it possible? Well, by focusing on everything above the foundation. Do you hear what I said? And you know, life in general is like that. I mean, let me ask you this question. When is the last time you gave thought to the foundation of your house, or the foundation of your apartment, or the foundation of your dwelling, whatever and wherever that may be? When is the last time you thought, you know, I want to just sit down just for 5 minutes and just think about the foundation of my house, the concrete slab? I just want to think about it. I just want to think about, you know, I want to go check it out. When's the last time you did that out of your own? I'm not talking about you had to because someone pointed out something. I'm talking about you just did that. And so life in general is like that. We don't really think about things like that because everything else is on it. And yet when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to our Christian walk, we are supposed to be very aware of our foundation, and we're supposed to think about it often, and we're supposed to make sure that we are standing solidly on our foundation. But what happens is that people get all caught up focusing, listen to this carefully, focusing on the non-essentials of their faith, of their freedom in Jesus. You know, that they get caught up in all these things. So they get caught up in gifts. You know, let's have the gifts. Let's have tongues. Let's have, you know, all these miracles. But they forget about righteousness. They forget about forgiveness in Jesus. Or they get caught up in self-effort. You know, let me do all these things and forget about grace as a foundation. Or they get caught up in, you know, sin and the guilt of sin and what they're trying to do to overcome it and why they've been attacked, that instead of the forgiveness that they have in Jesus, and put their trust in God's ability to help them walk out of that. You see, that's what I'm talking about. We need to stand on our foundation. When it comes to freedom in Jesus, freedom from sin, we need to make sure that we know I am on a good solid foundation as far as freedom from sin in Jesus. Now you may be saying, well, how can I know? I'll give you a test in a moment. So just hang in there. Let's have a look at John chapter 8 verse 36 from the King James. Jesus' words, so it's in red, you can see there. He says, if the Son, talking about himself, therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Notice the Son makes us free. And because he makes us free, because he got our freedom, we are free. So it's not on the basis of what we do, what we don't do. It's not on what we, our merit, our performance. Freedom from sin is given to us in Jesus. And you'll see that in a moment. And so if Jesus made you free, then you are really free. Do you feel free? Well, you can see from this too that true freedom is only found in Jesus. Now, this is going to shock you, but it's true, and I'm going to prove it in a moment. Not everyone in Christendom understands the kind of freedom that they have in Jesus, or that Jesus was talking about here when he said, you know, the Son therefore will make you free and you shall be free. Believe it or not, not everyone understands that. Intellectually, they know that verse. Intellectually, they have some comprehension, but you'll find many who don't live it out. Why? Because they're not on that solid foundation. Now, there is a context to this John 8 verse 36, obviously. So we're going to look at the immediate context, and this time I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation because it's going to help us understand it easier. So look at this, John 8, 31 to 36 from the Passion. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. So these were people who were living under the law, and I guess they were still figuring out if they need to continue and embrace Jesus. It says, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, when you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers. In other words, his disciples. For if you embrace the truth, in other words, what I'm teaching you is the truth. For if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. So in other words, you need to stay in tune with my word and what I taught and what I say, because by doing that, not only are you going to remain my disciple, but also the truth is what you're going to hear, and that truth is going to add your revelation, your understanding, your comprehension of the freedom that you have in Jesus. So notice he's talking about freedom in Jesus. Yeah. Then watch this, verse 33. This is all part of the same story, the same account. Surprised by this, they said. So notice they're surprised about it. So I don't know what they were thinking as far as embracing Jesus. Surprised by this, they said, but we're the descendants of Abraham and we are already free. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How could you say that we will be released into more freedom? In other words, God made a covenant with our father Abraham, the first Jew, and therefore, you know, he was free and we are his descendants, so we are free, so we've never been in bondage, so we're already free. In other words, whatever freedom you're offering us, it can't be superior to the freedom we have from Abraham as descendants of Abraham. So therefore, Jesus, I'm putting it in my own words, we already have a greater freedom. We don't really need your freedom. So we're surprised that you're talking about freedom. Are you trying to erase Abraham? You can't, because, you know, he is our father. And, you know, sometimes we can get like that. Sometimes we can let our self-righteousness and, you know, our ability to avoid sin and live a good moral life, we can sometimes say, well, you know, yeah, freedom in Jesus, praise God, and I needed it initially, but I think I've been a pretty good Christian. I think my morality is good. I think I've been doing a great job staying free from sin. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for freedom and the initial freedom. But, you know, I've got it from here. I've been doing it on my own from here. Some people think like that, believe it or not. And so verse 34, it goes on. I speak eternal truth, Jesus said. When you sin, you are not free. In other words, I'm not talking about covenant freedom with Abraham. I'm not talking about descendancy from Abraham. I'm talking about what the problem that everyone who is a descendant of Adam has, which is sin. And he says, when you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave in bondage to your sin. In other words, what Jesus was talking about is, I'm teaching you the truth about freedom from sin in me, Jesus, that is. And he's saying, if you keep following me, if you keep listening to that truth, you are going to continue enjoying that freedom. Because if you don't, if you lose focus of your foundation of freedom from sin in Jesus, then you're going to think that you're hot stuff if you're a good Christian, or you're going to feel real bad if you're not such a good Christian. And that's what he's saying. So, and then he says in verse 35, and slaves have no permanent standing in a family. In other words, you're going to not feel like you're part of God's family. Sometimes you're going to doubt your salvation. You're not always going to feel like you're part of God's eternal family, because that's what sin is able to do. And so, like a son does, for a son is a part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free from sin, who sets you free from sin? The son. Not your merit, not your performance, not your morality. It's good to live like that. It's good to do those things. But those things do not set you free from sin. Jesus alone sets us free from sin and has set us free from sin. So he says, so if the Son sets you free from sin, then you've become a true son and be unquestionably free. In other words, the foundation of our freedom from sin is not on the basis of what we do, what we don't do, our morality, our self-righteousness, our goodness. And it's great that we do that, but that should never be the foundation of our freedom from sin in Jesus. And, you know, I've met some very proud people. They don't think they're proud, but, you know, pride is like bad breath. Everyone knows you've got it except you. And sometimes pride is like that, you know. They, you know, well, I live a good life. I live by the golden rule. I'm better than most people. I mean, look at those people. They're bad. Compare me to them. I'm great. And they think, well, my foundation is what I do, what I don't do, my ability to keep myself free from sin. And that's a terrible mistake, because that's the mistake these guys made. And Jesus said to them, true freedom, true eternal lasting freedom, freedom from God, from sin, only comes in and through Jesus, because he got that freedom for us through the cross. Amen. So our freedom from sin comes from Jesus. So if anyone has a struggle with sin, tap into your freedom from sin in Jesus. Say, Lord, thank you for your ability. Thank you for helping me overcome this. Thank you for your forgiveness. Don't run from God, run to God. Because that's what it means to be established on a foundation of freedom from sin in Jesus. Amen. And so in the context here, Jesus was talking about freedom from sin. We've seen that clearly. And so you can put what he said this way. If I therefore, that's Jesus, if I therefore make you free from sin, you will be free from it indeed. In other words, you want to enjoy real, eternal, godly, lasting freedom? It's the freedom that I provide for you. No other freedom can do that for you. So what I'm saying to us today is that the foundation of our freedom from sin should be in Jesus and not anything else. Not our goodness, not our lag, not our greatness, not our church going, not our Bible reading. Those things are good. We do that because we are free. But we don't do that because we're trying to be free or because we think we've achieved freedom. We can never achieve that. If you and I could achieve freedom from sin in ourselves, we would not need Jesus and God would not have sent Jesus. Now, I know some of this stuff sounds elementary and we're still getting to the test, so just hang in there, okay? So true freedom from sin is only found in Jesus, period. And that should be the foundation of our freedom from sin in Jesus, of our freedom in general before God. So looking again at John 8:32, it says, remember what Jesus said there, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So does truth make you free? Not truth alone. Truth you know makes you free. This is why Jesus said, if you keep listening to me and you keep in my word, then you will enjoy the freedom that I provided for you from sin. And so here, in this translation, he says, when you know the truth, truth about what? Freedom from sin in Jesus, and that truth then will set you free. In other words, when you understand and realize, when you know the truth about freedom from sin in Jesus, you will experience it. And I'm telling you, I can share testimony after testimony with you before I understood this truth and now that I understand this truth. As a young Christian, I used to be so tormented in my mind. And, you know, the devil did a good job in fueling that and adding fuel to the fire. But my own conscience, because of the way I was conditioned, because of the foundation I had about forgiveness. You see, the foundation I had was that if I don't measure up, it's not a good foundation. If I don't measure up, I'm unacceptable to God. And I can be not forgiven, and I can mess up again so bad that I will never be forgiven. And so I would live a Christian, I would fake it until I make it in front of people, but I would be tormented because I think, you know, am I really going to go to heaven? Does God really love me? Is God really listening to my prayer? Sometimes it would feel like my prayers would hit the ceiling and then bounce right back. But it wasn't God, it was my perception of God and my perception of the freedom that I had. And I didn't understand freedom in Jesus from sin, so therefore I didn't have confidence. So I was looking at myself just like these people were doing. And so, but yet Jesus says, when you know the truth about freedom from sin in Jesus, you will experience it. So, now, think about who Jesus, again, was speaking to when he said this. He was talking to Jewish people who were very familiar with the law of God, who were godly people, and they were living in God's way. And yet, they would be the most devoted on earth at the time as far as godly people go. You know, they were God's chosen people. They still are. So are we. But they were God's chosen people then under that covenant. And yet, Jesus says to them, surely, or put it this way, surely they should know the truth. And apparently they did not, because here he is teaching them and explaining to them what the difference is between freedom from sin in Jesus and other freedoms that they think gives them freedom from sin. So if the most religious, the most educated in the things of God, and the most with heritage in the things of God didn't understand, how much more do you think you and I need to be sure that we understand freedom in Jesus, specifically freedom from sin in Jesus. We sure do. Amen. I mean, I think about the United States. Before Helen and I answered the call to come to the United States, we lived in South Africa. We were both raised there. And so, you know, that's all we knew. And so we weren't really familiar. We heard some things, but we were never really familiar with the United States Constitution. We weren't really familiar with, you know, the democratic system we have as a republic. And so we didn't understand and comprehend all of these things. And so we had a bit of a glimpse, but we didn't really get it. And so when we came here, the first few years even, it took us time to get to know the ways and learn the history and all of that, and we're still learning. But once we started understanding it more and more and getting more and more, and then when we became citizens, we had to learn all this stuff and we had to write a test to pass and, you know, have an interview and all of that to make sure that we are American worthy and we qualify as American citizens. We had to learn all this stuff. And so once we did all of that and we realized just what it took to be a free nation, an independent nation, well, our eyes were wide open. And now we understand and we appreciate it. We can appreciate it and be a part of it. So now we love South Africa. It'll always be part of who we are. And, you know, I believe God has great plans because of our connection with South Africa. But what I'm saying is that when we realized the what the freedom in the United States means, we were able to appreciate it like most Americans should appreciate it, and I hope do appreciate it. But the point is that, you know, if we don't understand true freedom in Jesus and freedom from sin in Jesus, we can have a rocky, bad foundation and wonder, why do we struggle in life with these things? Why do I have lack confidence in God? Because it affects all of our faith. So here we are. Let me ask you some questions and we'll see where we are with our foundation and our understanding of freedom from sin in Jesus. So let's talk about freedom a little bit and let's see how it's defined and what it means, okay? So question, is freedom based on feelings? In general, freedom, is it based on feelings? Is freedom in Jesus based on feelings? I can't hear anyone. Okay, I'm hearing no's. Well, that's true. You know, if you said yes, well, there it is, your foundation. The truth is that freedom in Jesus doesn't start with feelings. It's not meant to be a feeling. Oh, well, now I feel it. Yes, I feel it. Okay, now I'm free. No, it's a fact that God did for us in and through Jesus, regardless of how we feel. So if you are trying to feel freedom in Jesus or freedom from sin in Jesus, you are in for a life of torment because it's not based on feelings. It's a fact, just like some of our freedoms as a nation are facts. No matter how we feel about it, they are facts. And so freedom in Jesus is a fact. So it's not based on feelings. So then here's another question. Is freedom based on our merit and performance? Is freedom in Jesus based on our merits and performance? In other words, based on what we do and what we don't do, based on what we do to earn or deserve it. Is it based on that? No, because Jesus said, you know, I have come to set you free and I am the one who makes you free. In other words, you don't get free from sin because of what you do or what you don't do. You get freedom from sin because you were made free and God provided that freedom for you in Jesus because we could never achieve that. We could never do that. And so you and I need to understand I have freedom from sin in Jesus because of what he did, not because of what I do. Now, if someone takes that, well, then I can just go on doing whatever I want. Clearly that foundation also needs help in that area, right? But let me show you how our dictionaries define the word freedom. And this is taken from It's going to come up on the screen. This is taken from the American Oxford Dictionary, but most dictionaries say the same thing. Watch how it defines freedom. It says it's the power or right to act, speak, or think as you want to without hindrance or restraint. Doesn't that sound dangerous? It sounds real dangerous. And I mean, we see secular, unsafe people actually take advantage of freedom better than Christians do, and Christians should, sadly, when you look at this. But notice, it's the power to act, speak, think as you want to, without hindrance or restraint. In other words, without limitations, without boundaries, you can just do whatever you want. Isn't that how true freedom is defined? You see, most people don't know that kind of freedom. Because even though we say we're a free nation, we are free citizens as long as we comply to the Constitution, as long as we comply to the laws of the land. So our freedom is not really freedom. It is freedom, and it is therefore our own good that way. But that's a different kind of freedom. Because true freedom has no laws, no rules, no regulations. It has no boundaries, no restraints. We can do whatever we want, however we want. That is true freedom. Don't you agree? I mean, the dictionary defines it that way. So you can't even take it as my opinion. And is that the kind of freedom that Jesus was talking about? Well, let's see from the New American Standard Greek Dictionary how that word freedom that Jesus spoke about earlier, this is how it's defined. It's the Greek word eleutheru, and here's what it means. To make free, watch this now, to exempt from liability. In other words, to exempt from responsibility. So really, biblically speaking, it means the same thing as what dictionaries or how dictionaries define it. It means that to really be free, you are exempt from liability. You are exempt from responsibility. In other words, you can be and do anything you want without regard or concern. That is the true meaning of freedom, not just in our dictionaries, but biblically speaking. That's what true freedom looks like. True freedom is when we can do, say, think whatever we want without any restrictions, without any concerns, without any regard. And I know some of you are already thinking, oh, I don't know about that. I mean, imagine what would happen to our nation if that was the case. And we've seen people do that. Imagine what would happen to Christianity if it was like that. You know, no, 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 Pastor Marco. You see, this is why I think you grace preachers need to understand that we need the law of God, because the law of God keeps us in check, and the law of God helps us not take advantage of the freedom. Really? What I see this, or how I see it, is that the law of God actually puts restraints and constraints and limitations on our freedom. This is why we were never really free under the law. This is why in the old covenant, people were never really free because of the law. That's why God did away with that covenant and introduced a new covenant in Jesus at the cross, which is a covenant of grace, which has freedom in Jesus as a result of it. So real true freedom is without boundaries, without restraints, without responsibility. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, oh, this sounds so good. You know, I've been concerned about that sin and that little habit that no one knows about, the things that I've been doing. Oh, now I feel free because, you know, freedom in Jesus, I can do what I want, I can say what I want without concern, because that's the freedom Jesus gave me. Don't be too quick to think like that. Let me say some things that will help you clarify that kind of thinking. But it doesn't change the fact that that's what freedom looks like. So let me say some things here. True freedom can only be experienced when all obligation or restriction is removed, based on the definitions we've seen. Is that true? Come on, someone. True freedom can only be experienced when all obligation or restriction is removed. Is that true? Yes, it is. So, we can also then conclude and say this. If you are not first free to be or do anything you want, you are not truly free. True? Of course. So then, question, if you are free only because you do what God says you may do, are you truly free? Do you hear what I said? If you are free only because you do what God says you can do or you may do, are you truly free? Not really, because there's constraints to that. See, and that's what the law does. Now, if you live a good moral life, are you truly free? Does your moral life produce that freedom in Jesus? No. So you can be a good person and you can live a good life, but because you live that kind of life, is it because you are really free? Not really, because you have to keep yourself in check. You know, this is my moral standard. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. This is how far I go with this, and I don't allow this in my life. What are you doing? You have a system again that puts constraints and limitations. So are you really free? You see, what I'm saying is that we are so conditioned, and you know, in our world we need that, it's important, but we can't confuse that with the freedom we have in Jesus from sin. So someone who lives a good moral life, they're not really free if their focus is on their morality. Isn't that so? This is the reason. I mean, when I think about reasons why people are afraid, why Christians are afraid to embrace the true definition of freedom that I've shown you, it is because of they're afraid of what it may reveal about people's hearts. They're afraid, ultimately, as for what it will reveal in their heart. And you know, this is why sometimes it's the same reason why they're confused and are afraid to embrace grace the way God defines it, because they are afraid of what it's going to reveal from a person's heart. And it's true, because if you tell someone, this is what freedom looks like, you can do whatever you want, no concerns, no restrictions, then you know you're really going to see what is in a person's heart. And most people, when they get that revelation, need some heart surgery from God. Because we've been taught and conditioned to live by laws, to live by regulations, keep ourselves in check. And so we think we're free, but we're not really free. And then when the floodgates are open to the understanding of freedom in Jesus, oh, some Christians think, well, you see, I'm free. There's no consequence. I'm forgiven for all of my sin. So I can do this. I can do that. I can get engaged. Only to find that sin still pays a wage and sin still is destructive in their lives. That's what I'm saying. But it doesn't take away the understanding of living in true freedom in Jesus. When Jesus set us free from sin, He set us free to do, act, speak, think, however we want. That's what He did. But it definitely can't be taken as a license to go and sin, as some people, see, legalistic people think that. You see, yet Jesus said, until we know the truth about freedom from sin, we will not experience it. You remember that? So freedom in Jesus has to be understood at heart level. Because I'm telling you, when I understood this kind of freedom that I have in Jesus from sin, when I understood the grace of God, the as pure as I can understand the grace of God, let me tell you something. I went through a time, months in my life, where I did not realize the kind of things that were in my heart. Now that I had freedom, I thought, well, why can't I do that? Why can't I watch that? Why can't I listen to that? Why can't I get engaged in that? I mean, is that really so bad? I'm free anyway. I'm forgiven anyway. Grace is there anyway. I literally had to go through a transformation and trust God to help me get rid of all those yucky things that were locked away deep in my heart because of the misunderstanding of freedom, which was not really freedom that I had in my heart. And let me tell you something, all of us will go through that journey when it comes to understanding this freedom. So, here's the test. Are you ready? Let me ask you this question. Are you absolutely free in Jesus? Some of you are answering under your breath, like, because you don't want to say it. Come on now. Are you absolutely free in Jesus? The answer is, what? Yes, okay. So then, follow-up question. Can you then do as you please? You just said that you are absolutely free in Jesus, and I've defined it for you and explained it to you. So now my question is can you then as a believer just do as you please? I don't hear many people answering there. See, here's where it comes down to. This is where we check the foundation. This is why this whole message is there. Are you then as a believer free to do as you please? Most of you said no. And guess what? You are wrong. Because if you look at the definitions and if you look at what Jesus was explaining, are you absolutely free in Jesus? Yes. Can you then do as you please? Yes. Will you want to? I hope not. But it doesn't take away the truth of your freedom in Jesus. Because if you said, no, I can't do as I please, it means that you still have a somewhat of a legalistic understanding of freedom. And maybe that's even how you protect yourself in your perceived freedom or your understanding of freedom. But true freedom is received when you know, I can do whatever I want, but I just choose not to do some things. So how do we get that choice? How do we get that ability to choose and say no to certain things? But we need to understand the foundation is we have absolute freedom in Jesus. And the answer is yes, we can do as we please. Should we do as we please? Well, we'll answer that question now. We'll see that now. So let's answer that question, why we wouldn't just do as we please. And we'll come to an ending here. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12 from the Passion Translation. Watch what it says. It's beautiful. I'm just going to read scripture now. It's true that our freedom allows us to do anything. See? There it is, confirmed by the Apostle Paul. So it's not Pastor Marco coming up with this. It's scriptural. It is true that our freedom allows us to do anything. Watch this. But that doesn't mean that everything we do is good for us. I am free to do as I choose. See, he's describing the scriptural freedom I've just taught on. But I choose to never be enslaved to anything. In other words, I have absolute freedom in Jesus. I understand that this freedom is the kind of freedom that frees me to do anything I want. But the reason why I don't do it is because some things are just not good for me. And some things I don't want to be bound to because they have this binding ability to take me down the wrong way. And he says, because of that, I make the choice. So I'm not making the choice because I'm trying to be moral, because I'm trying to please God, because I'm trying to earn or deserve freedom. I'm making the choice because I'm actually free. And because it's not good for me. See? That's when it makes sense. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23, again from the Passion. Watch this. You say, he says to them, under grace, there are no rules and we're free to do anything we please. So these are people that just got a revelation of grace. And he says, not exactly, because not everything promotes growth in others. Your slogan, we're allowed to do anything we choose, watch us, may be true, but not everything causes the spiritual advancement of others. What is he saying? He's not rejecting them. He's not correcting them. He's saying, you are right as far as under grace, there are no rules and we are free to do as we please. And we are allowed to do anything we choose because of the freedom we have in Jesus. He's not trying to fix that. He's actually affirming it. But he says, at the same time, you need to consider other people around you and how it will affect them if you were to exercise that freedom. So not only is it not beneficial for you and it'll put you in bondage, but it's also about other people. You know, we don't do certain things because of other people. We don't want to cause them to stumble. We don't want them to have the wrong impression of God. We don't want to misrepresent God. So that's another reason why we don't take advantage of the freedom we have in Jesus, but it doesn't take away the fact that we have freedom in Jesus. Amen. So true freedom in Jesus is when a believer understands that they are free to do as they please, but don't do it because it is more important to love, to honor, to respect and reverence God, others and self from the heart. Isn't that what we've just read? Of course. 1 Peter 2 verse 16 and 17 from the Passion Translation. It says, as God's loving servants, you should live in complete freedom. See that? But never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives, watch us, with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. So what does he say there? He says, live in your freedom. Understand your freedom. Understand that in Jesus you are completely free and you can do anything you want. But don't take advantage of that freedom by going and doing things that don't benefit other people, that don't honor God, that don't honor yourself, that only bring damage to you and others, because it helps no one at the end of the day. But you see, that's living in true freedom in Jesus. Here's the last one. 1 John 3 verse 9 from the Message Translation. Watch this. People conceived and brought into life by God. In other words, people that are born again by receiving salvation in Jesus. People conceived and brought into life by God don't make a practice of sin. How could they? God's seed is deep within them, making them who they are. It's not in the nature of the God begotten to practice and parade sin. In other words, someone who's truly born again and has received salvation in Jesus, they don't want to take advantage of the freedom they have in Jesus because that's not their nature that's in them. So if someone feels free to take advantage of the freedom they have in Jesus and they have no thought for it, then clearly they're not really born again. They haven't really received salvation in Jesus. Now there's a time of renewing the mind, but at heart level it bothers them. They want to trust God, they want to get over it, they don't want to continue in it. But someone who continues in it, clearly they're not born again. Clearly they haven't received salvation in Jesus. Isn't that so? Because it's easier. Someone who does has the nature of God, and they definitely don't want to practice and parade sin. Because that's not the nature of a true child of God. Amen. And so as believers, we are absolutely and totally free in Jesus. And praise God for that. Amen. We are free to do as we please, but we choose not to because we love, honor, and respect God, ourselves, and others. Amen. But we live in that freedom. And I trust that somehow something in this message has been a blessing to you. If anything, I trust that you have a great appreciation for this freedom you have in Jesus, because that's true freedom in Jesus. Amen.
We trust you were blessed by this message. For more resources and to support our ministry, please go to redemptioninjesus.com.